broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 4th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is our one of two, and our goal always, to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property in the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe the checks and balances put in place by the founders, absolutely the brilliant solution to restore the republic. We just have to apply the principles that made America great at one time. We can do it again, but we need your help. By the way, it is a freedom-loving fantastic. We're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday. Welcome to the broadcast. The recap of yesterday's show. Let me crank through that quickly because we got a lot on the plate today. The choices for president don't excite most Utah voters. Deseret News reports the details. Have you heard of Operation Wetback? Huh? Don't run around saying I'm a racist. And I'm using insensitive terms. It was literally a historical government program back in the 1950s in the Eisenhower administration. Go look it up if you don't believe me. Have you heard of Operation Wetback? And is Donald Trump being honest with the American people by talking about immigration with his immigration points that sound great? It's incredible rhetoric, no doubt about it. But really, if we're not going to talk about Operation Wetback and talk about the history of America and the real solutions, I don't know what we're doing when it comes to these discussions. Because look, Operation Wetback, believe it or not, was, well, the brainchild was the Mexican government. The Mexican government, after World War II, didn't want the United States stealing all their labor force. So the Mexican government asked the United States, please help us stop illegal immigration. I know it sounds backwards, doesn't it? That's because they're lying to you today. And see, without understanding that proper history, the Mexican government did not want all their citizens leaving their country and coming to America. We partnered to stop illegal immigration with the Mexican government. Now, 50-plus years later, Trump wants you to believe that we got to sanction and be at odds with the Mexican government. The question is, who wants illegal immigration and who doesn't, huh? How about a transparent discussion of our history? How about a transparent discussion about who really wants what? I believe that the Mexican government and the people don't want illegal immigration at all. But Kurt wisely pointed out yesterday on the broadcast, belligerent elitists on both sides of the border want illegal immigration. Is Trump playing into that with a bunch of rhetoric that'll never go anywhere because he's got the whole wrong premise on the table? You see, Rand Paul and others have said, as long as we have dishonest money, fake fiat money, we'll never get a handle on this out-of-control, belligerent, immoral government. And that is absolutely correct, but Donald Trump not saying a word about that. People say, Sam, why are you just attacking Trump? I'm not attacking Trump, ladies and gentlemen, but what I want to talk about is principle. I want to talk about history. I want to talk about factual reality. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, does Sam have solutions for the immigration problem? Oh, yes, he does. The answer is, first off, get rid of the fake money. Secondly, get rid of all the socialism, all the handouts, bringing people here for the wrong reasons. Now, Kurt wisely pointed out we need to get rid of socialism for everybody, not just illegals. And boy, is he on target. Wow. But you know what? Those are just two of the starting points. I would hire Joe Arpaio, the toughest sheriff in the nation. Right now, we're attacking him because he wants to uphold the law in America. Just imagine upholding our laws, huh? Joe Arpaio trying to stand with the law, and they're trying to get him in trouble for trying to be a real lawman, huh? Trump, they say, will sign GOP loyalty pledge. Oh, yes, he will. He already did. We'll talk about that coming up as the broadcast unfolds. Five Chinese Navy ships are operating in the Bering Sea straight off Alaska. Wow, beware of that. Keep an eye on those dudes, huh? Why it's so hard for women in religious communities to find men to marry? That was a question asked. Can't find a guy to marry, huh? Well, it's not you, believe it or not. It's a shortage of suitable males, one expert says. Turns out there's like, 150 women for every 100 men? Pretty good odds in a lot of these religious communities, huh? Disney and Broadway legend Dean Jones passed away with Parkinson's at age 84. And we really talked about his life and about who he was. At first, he was a party animal, you know, insider, Hollywarped kind of a guy. But over time, he became a Christian, someone who believed in Jesus Christ, and he jettisoned his party days and really turned around, really repented, really changed. And, you know, we all should hope for that for our lives, huh? Pretty cool, huh? I guess the director of Taylor Swift's new video hits back hard. It was an African video, and they're claiming that she's, what, like a racist because she portrayed everything as all white and stuff, and Reuters reporting the details, and everybody's fighting about this thing, and what a tragedy. Is it accurate? A hacker threatens to release all of Hillary's private email. $500,000. Man, the hacker ought to go for more than that, huh? Teen accused of murdering neighbor, now charged with raping her before murdering her. And we talked about, you know, that's a tragic situation. It's horrible. But you know, what do you expect out of a society that we grow up and promote gay and lesbian marriage? We grow up and promote dishonesty and immorality. We won't let people learn about the Ten Commandments because it might actually guide their lives, right? We turn our back on God and turn our sights towards everything immoral. And the only kind of sex you're not allowed to have is the God-sanctioned between one husband and one wife relations. That's the only kind that's frowned upon these days, isn't it? Ann Coulter says, I'm obsessed with Donald Trump. Now, I thought Donald Trump was married. I don't really know that as a woman you ought to run around and say you're obsessed with a married man that's married to somebody else. But that's the conservatives among us. You know, Ann Coulter's supposed to be big-time conservative, right? And she's enamored with the Donald. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. News the networks refuse to use today. Starts now on this freedom-loving Fantastic Friday. Kurt's up. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Kurt, two people said yes yesterday. You know that?
Good news.
Well, it's not exactly what you think. It's good news on one hand, bad news on the other. See, my daughter got engaged last night, so that's the good news, and she said yes. So that's kind of cool. It'll be my third child to be married. What child? Wait, my third kid. Obviously. It's now not a kid.
Yes.
So she said yes last night. Congratulations to them, by the way. But I also want to say he said yes, Kurt. Who am I talking about? Donald Trump. They say Donald J. Trump, by the way. On Thursday, meaning yesterday, he signed the Republican Party pledge mandating that all of its presidential candidates promise to forego a third-party run in support of the, quote, eventual nominee. Next headline, Trump pledges loyalty to the GOP. That's USA Today. Yeah, you want to comment on this, Kurt? I think it's a horrible he said yes scenario.
You know, it's part of how the game is played, Sam.
You're right about that fact.
You know, it sure seems like I don't really think they left him much wiggle room. But on the other hand, I think that he evaluated the picture and figured that if he was going to be the nominee, then he could make sure that none of the other guys, as long as everybody took the pledge, you know, that none of the other guys, you know, opposed him either.
You're right about that. Now, one of the interesting things about this, though, is he really pointed out he didn't do so quietly. He kind of made a big old bombastic delivery about it. And he said, I can't think of a single reason I would ever tear up this pledge, Kurt. Now, in that sows the seeds of mockery a little bit, in my opinion, because you're dealing with the Donald, Kurt.
Yeah.
And on one hand, he's saying, you know, I can't see that I would rip this up. The whole, when they said, what did you get in exchange for signing this pledge? He said, nothing. Nothing. Except for they're supposed to treat him fairly, Kurt. Yeah. You expect fair treatment from the Republicans, Kurt?
No.
I mean, it's kind of like how they treated Ron Paul fairly, that kind of affair. Wow, no. Turn off the light, beat your buddies up, you know, that kind of stuff. Change the rules, lie, cheat, steal, plunder, pillage, that kind of stuff. And Donald, if you think you're going to be treated fairly by the Republicans, my friend, you are naivete, to say the least. Anyway, he kind of mocked them in that. I give the Donald credit a little bit because he gets it. But I also say this, he should not have caved. Mr. Trump said that he took pleasure in the fact that everybody who's attacked me has gone down the tubes. Details in seconds on your radio.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so we're talking about Donald Trump in the news again. He said yes, he caved. He pledged allegiance, not to the United States, ladies and gentlemen, to a private party known as the Republican Party, who in return promised to treat him fairly. Trump pledges loyalty to the GOP. I didn't realize that was a requirement for running for the United States, but it certainly is. Now, Mr. Trump said that he took pleasure in the fact that everybody who's attacked me has gone down the tubes. And then he ticked off a list of such rivals. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, he attacks first, Kurt. Did you see this?
No.
He says, Senator Rand Paul, who has been plummeting in the polls, I mean, it's amazing that he'd even be on the CNN debate stage this month after the network changed the criteria for candidates, likely admitting Carly Fiorina to the pack and rejecting Rand Paul. It'll be too crowded with 11 people, and Rand just doesn't make the cut, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first time candidate Donald Trump displayed a new degree of polish on the campaign trail, they say, Kurt. For example, instead of spouting at the mouth now, he's kind of subdued, Kurt. They say he declined to answer a question about barely dressed women who have recently took to the streets of New York and Times Square. He said, I'm not going to talk about that. It's not really appropriate. It's inappropriate to discuss at a news conference, the Donald said. Mm-hmm. He also declined to say whether you would pardon this scooter nicknamed person who was convicted for lying about his role in the outing of Valerie Wilson as a covert CIA agent in the Bush administration, calling it an irrelevant issue. He said immigration is indeed a positive issue, and he refused to chime in on the case of Kim Davis. That's the county clerk in Kentucky that was ordered to jail for refusing to issue marriage licenses. He said, I don't really know enough about that. Now, I guess the Donald couldn't quit swinging at people, but he said he liked Kanye West. He said, hey, I don't know if Kanye West is going to run for president or not, may or may not be true, but I'm not going to say anything bad about Kanye. You want to know why? Because he likes the Trump, said Trump. So Curdy took a direct swipe at Rand Paul, and he doesn't have the guts to stand up for Kim. What do you think of those twists in the presidential runnings, huh?
Yeah, that's definitely news.
Well, let me ask you, does it make you want to double down in support of the Trump, Kurt? First off, he signs a pledge not to the United States, but to the Republican Party. That's the party that absolutely last election cycles has cheated and stealed and manipulated and changed the rules and made a mockery of, voting and everything else. And then now he pledges allegiance to that apparatus. And on top of that, then he basically, you know what? Of all the people he could attack, he attacks Rand Paul of all of them. He attacked Jeb Bush also. But it also tells me that Rand may have more stature in the race than people gave credit, because why would the Donald even waste his time on Rand Paul?
Good point.
And so there's more to that than meets the eye, is my point. But why would he attack Rand of all people?
I guess one of the reasons I'm looking at, there's a couple of reports, one from InfoWars, one from Fox News, where Rand Paul says Donald Trump is a disaster.
So, who said Donald's a disaster?
Rand Paul.
Yeah, see, but that Rand's attacking, you know, and the question becomes, will the Trump hurt Rand more by attacking him, or is it just good fodder for giving them both coverage, Kurt? Don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as I can tell, you know, that would be Rand Paul pretty much saying the same thing that you've been saying about Donald Trump.
Well, because it's true. Rand Paul's willing to tell the truth, it looks like. So I just find the whole twist and turn scenario kind of interesting. And I'm not too pleased, really, with these people signing this pledge. But you know what? Rand signed the pledge too, Kurt. Mm-hmm. And I know people would say, well, you have to, yesterday. Sam. Well, I don't know if they all signed it yesterday. I think other people have signed it before. But now they're kind of making a point that all of them have signed it, Kurt. What do you think?
Very interesting.
Would you sign it, Kurt?
Well, as far as I can tell, it's pretty much, if you're going to be included in the debates or any of those things, they pretty much one of those.
You're right.
You know,
would you sign it, Kurt?
Things. You know, if I could actually get my points out, I suppose Rand Paul had to sign something like that. You know, like he had to sign that deal to support all the incumbents in
Good
Texas.
Point.
etc. You know, and if he chose to do that, then at least he probably figured, well, the greater good was
accomplished.
To, you
yeah,
know, at least do something.
And see, I get that view, and I'm sure Ron and did that. I concur. But I would say this, Kurt, that's the whole reason that I wouldn't sign it. Because what happens is you have this nonprofit, whatever you want to call it, private institution dictating whether you can pay to play, if you will, to become president. And can you let me ask you the next question. Can you fix America by embracing the party system that the founders told you to avoid like the plague? Can you fix America by being part of the party is the question. Can you be a Republican, sign the pledge to back the nominee, play their game by their mainstream press rules, the whole bit, and really fix the country? Is that possible is the question.
That's pretty much the reason I left the, quote, Republican Party, Sam. I'm pretty much against any party programs, you know, and I think they, you know, are the main root of the problem. Almost.
You're right about that. Clerk Kim Davis of Rowan County, Kentucky. She chooses jail over deal on gay unions. She says, I'm not doing it, and I'm not letting my people do it. And they tossed her in the clink yesterday, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Well, all I can say is I'd sure like to go there and support her in some way. You know, I mean,
I concur with that. Now, guess yeah, who's the only candidate that I know that's supporting Kim?
I think Huckabee is, right?
Oh, then maybe there's two then, because Ted Cruz stood up for her, too.
I heard that Huckabee had called her or something like that.
See, how do these people call these people? How does Huckabee just all of a sudden like, hey, Kim, it's Mike. Congratulations, I support you. I'm going to do my very best to help you, you know. How do these people all get a hold of each other and stuff? Kurt, I don't get it. I can't get a hold of one of these people if my life depended on it.
Good point.
And we support Kim to the nth degree. Because I don't think she should be forced to act against her conscience, Kurt. This is one of the, in my humble opinion, most critical points in America. When you start forcing people to violate their conscience, meaning that there's really no choice, and then you start raising children in that forced conscience, forced against nature in your conscience scenario, God's not happy with that stuff, Kurt, when that occurs. And we're in for real trouble in America when we allow that to occur. And it's one thing to say, look, we'll let you go as a clerk. But it's another thing to say, we're going to toss you in the clink until you relent. This is big stuff, Kurt. This is serious business. All right, when we come back from this short pause, Kurt, I want to move to another topic, speaking of force. Brigham Young University, that's BYU. They had a student health plan, Kurt, but it's no longer compliant with the Affordable Care Act. And what does that all mean?
That whole pro-choice thing doesn't work.
That's my whole point. That's why I'm bringing it up right now, because, see, you're being forced against your conscience. We'll talk about how and why. Then we'll move to vote counts. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back to you live, ladies and gentlemen. This half hour is brought to you by thepowermall.com. Do business with the good guys and check it out today, thepowermall.com. All right, joining us now, one of my heroes, because he spends so much time on the fight for liberty. He's a Liberty Roundtable listener and contributor, I might add. And he spends so much time on the local level of politics, it's beyond imagination. He comes from the city that Kirk Crosby lives in called Cedar Hills, Utah. And they have an organization called, what, the Prop Role of Government? All right, it's Citizens for Responsible Government, or Responsible Cedar Hills Government Officials, if you will. And the reason I bring this all up is because it should be duplicated across the country. They're incredible efforts. We'll get into that in a minute, but for now, hi, Ken.
Good morning. How's everybody doing today?
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ken Cromar with us, and we're talking about a couple of topics. We'll get to the main topic that we brought Ken on the radio with us for in a couple of minutes. But we want to talk about this Brigham Young University, BYU, health plan no longer compliant with Affordable Care Act. And this is the ramifications that we all have to deal with here. Kurt, you want to update everybody on the details and then we can drill into this a little bit?
Well, you know, the bottom line is BYU is a... It's Brigham Young University. It's a church-owned school.
Private institution.
Owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They have had their own health care little program, health plan on campus for, I don't know, as far as I know, almost forever, for a long, long time. And it's been funded, self-funded is what they call it, which means if the individuals that use it, you know, basically pay for it, and so they haven't had monies coming in from other places, but you know, and they do the minimum essential coverage, etc., whatever that is, but you know, the bottom line is it's there to take care of individuals who need it. And that's what they say the student health plan is, self-funded, meaning it's paid for by those who participate. The school was granted a temporary extension that protected students from being fined for not having a qualifying health plan. I guess that's because it wasn't exactly like the government wanted it to be. But the recent this exemption has now run out, and it means that students enrolled in this plan may now face fines from the IRS for not having a qualifying health insurance plan. No pro-choice in this matter.
Oh, no.
Now, well, one of these spokesmen...
Kurt, the thing is, it's no pro-choice, but it's all based on the pro-choice lie. And what the rub is that it's over birth control, Kurt. And these private people don't want to fund birth control mandated by your government, folks.
Good point. And one of the spokesmen there said BYU's student health plan does not comply with a number of rules imposed by the Affordable Care Act, including those that say insurers can't place annual dollar limits on benefits and others that place limits on how much insurers may spend on administration. You know, it goes into a bunch of detail, but the bottom line is this private university is, you know, in my opinion, getting some heat put on them by the big federal government who shouldn't be in this area at all.
And the bottom line is what you have is you have private organizations and private individuals' lives restricted by these belligerent regulations. And the regulations literally strike at the morality of America because, you know, when you're forced to fund birth control, they, in fact, in the article, they even talk about a girl that, oh, she's okay because she has her birth control and this and that and that and the other. And that's kind of the rub. They're just promoting this agenda. Now, I'm not here to tell you whether you should practice birth control or not in your own personal lives. Personally, I believe God says to multiply and replenish the earth. And that has not been rescinded. That's just my personal view, and that's the way I interpret and believe in the scriptures. However, I'm not here to tell everybody how to run their life, but I am here to say, should they violate my conscience by forcing me to fund their pro-death plans that they call pro-choice that does not give me a choice? That's kind of the issue, Ken. What do you say?
Yeah, it's really disconcerting. I wonder if I shouldn't go check into the Gray Bar Hotel with that lady who's standing up for the principles. Do we have freedom of conscience? Do we get to believe our beliefs, or are we going to be put under the pressure of government and the thumbscrews turned down tight? I don't know.
You're talking about the clerk, Kim Davis of Rowan County, Kentucky, who chooses jail over backing gay unions. She says, I cannot violate my conscience here. And that's kind of where we are in America. You know, we've lost a lot of freedoms, Ken. Yep. And you know what? I can live with a lot of that. Not that I agree, but Americans aren't vigilant enough. And to some degree, our immorality, we get what we deserve, so to speak. But now we're starting to force even the good people to violate their conscience, whether it be birth control or other mandates and access to abortion and everything else via the Government Affordable Care Act, whether it be Kim Davis and her being forced to go along with gay unions and virtually endorse them via her signature. We're talking about the violation of one's conscience by force. And I'm telling you right now, the Lord is not pleased with that kind of stuff, my friend. When you study scriptures and history, that's the Rubicon. Look out when that happens, my friend.
Well, the good news is that the good Lord is giving us the opportunities to stand up and have ourselves counted with him.
Amen to that.
How you do it. And gee, that's what I think we're here for. So, hey, I guess that's the bright side of it is we get a chance to stand.
The Donald's failing to stand. He doesn't really know enough about Kim, and so he doesn't want to talk about that, you know?
Yeah, he said basically when asked about it, he said, I don't know enough about it to comment on it. Was she jailed? I really don't know much about it. This is according to Slate, but...
Mabel Donald ought to spend a little more time listening to Liberty Roundtable Live and not running around abusing people all day, huh?
Well, maybe so, huh, Sam? Lindsey Graham said, well...
Good old Lindsey. Wow.
Getting what she deserves. I guess Rand Paul and Marco Rubio, along with Cruz and... Huckabee all kind of stood with her.
So Huckabee did. Cruz did. Who else did?
Rand Paul and Rubio. Let's see. You said that, right?
So that's four of them?
Anyway, Cruz, yeah.
Four out of 17. Two of them not even constitutionally qualified to serve.
Good point.
Wow, what a tragic situation. All right, ladies and gentlemen, moving on from topic to topic in America Today. Headline says, listener Ken Cromar.
Yes.
He's going to provide a Cedar Hills, Utah voter recount report. What do you say, sir? You were actually, Kirk Cosby was running for office. He won it first. Then they had this mail-in ballot thing. And then they did mail in, and after the fact, all these ballots got included, and then Kurt lost, and then a recount was requested. We mentioned that on the radio, and you were asked to kind of monitor that with the Citizens for Responsible Government organization on Kurt's behalf, right?
That's correct. Just back up to give you the scenario, we were in a primary election. There were 9 candidates on the ballot, and it has to be narrowed down to 6 for the 3 open council seats that will be voted on in November. So the primary was just to narrow it down to the 6. Well, what was fascinating is that Kurt was the 6th after the August 10th vote count, which Kurt asked me to go represent him as at, which candidates have the right to do, to have a vote count representative there to verify the count process. Kurt was up by 4 votes. And then, of course, the mail-in ballots came in for the next few days after that. That amounted to, as I recall, it was 87 on one day, and I think it ended up being a little over 100, as I recall, over the next 2 or 3 days total. So they waited 2 weeks for the next city council meeting to count those ballots. Well, I was at that meeting and asked if I could look at the ballots as they were being counted as Kurt's representative, and they said no, that was only for August 10th. So isn't that interesting just right there? The Utah County vote election official, Scott Hoganson, said, no, that wasn't, she could have definitely let you sit there and watch the vote counts to make sure they were done accurately. Nevertheless, the result of that was is that Kurt was now behind by 5, and that a fellow who was way behind picked up 26 votes out of those and ended up being ahead of Kurt by 5, and another fellow by 1, a fellow by the name of Craig Clement. So, then Kurt asked for a recount appropriately, and at this recount, which took virtually all day yesterday, we started at 9 a.m. and went till about 3:30, as I recall, and it was intense to just literally recount these mail-in ballots one by one, and I sat over the shoulder of the fellow who was reading off the votes and marking my own personal tally sheet, and I caught a couple of errors. In fact, unfortunately, I caught an error in a count where they'd given Kurt a vote, and I noticed that the ballot was spoiled because it had 4 votes on it instead of the 3 that were allowed. And so, sorry, Kurt, I had to point that out, even though they'd already counted your vote.
Hey, now, the truth is the truth. Hang tight. Ken Cromar updating us in seconds on your radio.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, listener and well-known local activist for Liberty, Ken Cromer, on the radio talking about the recount on the votes. And he basically said, hey, you know what? I found an error. Sad to say the error went against Kurt Crosby in the vote count, but you know what? The truth is the truth, Ken.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You'd think, you know, the city is, oh, we did everything correct and everything is above board, et cetera. Well, if that's the case, then the recount should turn out exactly correct, right? Well, it didn't. There were significant changes, 2 and 3 votes.
Well, and therefore, those who say they're sour grapes, Ken, need to stop and realize that the fact is it wasn't accurate. Now, even if it goes against Kurt, that isn't the point. The point is it's not accurate.
Well, that's my point. It's not about Kurt. It's about the accuracy and efficacy of an election process. But even the vote count, the results of that were fascinating. Well, let me just back up here for a second. I personally caught 2 errors that resulted in 5 votes being different, 3 on 1 and 2 on another, one of which took a vote away from Kurt. And so I said, hey, listen, I know that hurts my guy, but to me the accuracy is paramount. And so there you go.
And therefore, to the naysayers who say it's just about Kurt Crosby and you guys have this belligerent agenda or this or that,
yeah,
it's all bogus, and this is positive proof.
Well, here's the thing that's even more important, and you and Kurt both know about this, because on July 30th, well before the August 10th voting deadline, we had gone into the Cedar Hills offices to visit with the city recorder, a very nice lady by the name of Colleen Mulvey, to talk about the process. I had spoken with Scott Hoganson, who is the Utah County Deputy Clerk Auditor in charge of all the elections throughout the county, to ask him about mail-in votes. He's concerned because it opens up the opportunity for cheating, frankly, because what you've got is normally you have one day of intensely scrutinized voting where people come in with their ID and they check rolls, and you've got people watching everything very carefully for just one day, from 8 in the morning till, or 7 in the morning till 8 at night. Well, now, with the mail-in ballot process, you've gone from 1 or 2 voting poll places to, in the city of Cedar Hills, 2,000, because every home is, in essence, a voting booth. And where you've got 29 days of unmonitored voting going on, where we don't have verification that the person that sent in the vote, yeah, they were signed. They check it against records to see if the signatures match, but that's easily overcome. And so there is the opportunity for cheating was made clear. And by the end of our visit, as you'll recall, Colleen Mulvey had to agree, the city recorder had to agree, that she could not with 100% certainty say that the ballot box had not been tampered with, and that there wasn't any sort of mischief that had been performed during this election. 29 days of unmonitored ballot box at the front office of the city, the lobby there, being watched by people who are not sworn in as ballot election officials. 29 days. Therein lies the problem with mail-in voting right there.
What do you say? I don't know why we continue to go down this road when there's so many red flags, Ken. I don't understand it, but people,
well,
just, the bureaucrats just persist, Kurt.
Yeah, here's the reason, Sam. You know, what you've got in our city, in my opinion, we've got a current mayor who wants, well, he's looking for higher office. And so in his, I guess you could say, urge for that, or, you know, yeah, the guy wants to be a leader. So then he sees mail-in voting as a way to, quote, increase voter participation, not to mention any of the other problems with it. But, you know, that's one of the things that they trumpeted in the recent newsletter, is the fact that, hey, it was like 25% voter participation, you know. And of course, they don't want to mention that in the Soviet Union, they had like 99%. Of course, they forced everybody to vote. But, you know, that's what I see here. And the thing,
well, if you can force people to fund birth control and literally the murdering of children via the pro-choice lie and promote a pro-death movement, if you can force people to vote against their conscience with their signatures to fulfill government responsibilities to promote gay and lesbian agendas and stuff, why can't you just force people to vote? I mean, come on.
Well, you know, and
what am I adding? You know, we didn't really think that there was a high likelihood that the vote count would change, did we, Kurt?
That's we just wanted to verify, is all.
Verify,
and,
exactly.
You know,
people,
and one of the key things I wanted to throw in.
Go ahead,
Ken,
Kurt.
Sorry to interrupt. One of the key things I wanted to throw in is, imagine the night of the first vote, when they reported the first votes and they saw, hey, you know, that slight difference in there. Just imagine, you know, and we didn't even think of doing this, but imagine if the tables were turned and we were 10 votes down or whatever it was. You know, we could have, we didn't, but, you know, I look back and I think, well, this could be done. I'm not saying this was done, but it certainly could have been done. An individual who felt strongly about maybe our campaign, if the numbers were different, we were down, could have said, oh, man, I forgot to vote. I'm going to fill that in and get that in the mail right now. We were told by election officials, even including our county one, that they believed in giving the voter the benefit of the doubt. So when we ask about the whole postmark thing, so you could literally have had a number of late voters that voted after they saw the results.
Yeah, so the headline should say benefit of the doubt or vote fraud.
Well, in fairness on that issue, before we went into the vote count yesterday, I had a few questions, one of which was, were there any postmarks that were smeared, indiscernible? And she said no. So, you know, we'll assume that what she was saying is correct. But let's just back up here for 1 second, if I could. The main issue is not whether yesterday's vote count was done accurately or not. I'm 99% confident it was. There's only a couple of occasions I looked away from the ballots and didn't actually see the ballot that was being counted, but I'm confident it was done right, just on the trend. And so 99% confident that we've got an accurate count. But that's not the issue. The issue is not the ballots that were counted that came out of the box. The question is, how did the ballots get in the box in the first place? And which ballots didn't get into the box? That's the question.
Great point.
The opportunity for mischief went for 29 days when you had that box sitting at the front lobby being guarded by the desk clerk there, who is not a sworn person.
Well, if they were there, you know, they can always, the desk clerk doesn't have to remain there all the time. They could certainly go to the bathroom or other things. And, you know, so you just have, in my opinion, too much room for shenanigans. And then, you know, to throw all of this together and then say, like on this postmark thing, can we ship things right from our house? We print postage labels right here.
Oh, right.
If we can do it, there's certainly people that could do that anywhere and basically print their own postage, you know, their own, you know, postmark date.
Oh, I did not even think of that. That is fascinating. Let me give you another example of something that we figured out. I mean, there's many examples of what could have been done. We have about 5 voters at our house. Let's say in an election that we mailed all our mail-in ballots at the same time, 5 ballots. the guy at the desk can see that they came from my address, the Cromar household address. Oh, my goodness. One, two, three, four, five. We know how he's going to vote. And suddenly those just sort of slip out from the stack of mail-in ballots that came in that day and into somebody's purse or just to the side or something, and they don't ever make it to the ballot box. That's a 10-vote swing right there. Not five, 10 votes. When a vote is not counted, it's not just one. It can be a 2-vote swing per vote. So right there, and that's just one example. The issue is the election was not 100% secure. We know that.
Here's the question. When does the benefit of the doubt become vote fraud? I mean, think about that for a minute. And my point is it really worth putting all these so-called good points on the altar for the chance that the elections are manipulated? And that's really, in my mind, where the rubber meets the road. Are we willing to say we're going to, instead of have one day with a very strict custody of ballot, if you will, chain of custody about opening that up for multiple days, ballots going through all kinds of people's hands, from post office employees to who knows who along the way, to missing ballots, to this, to that, to the confusing postmarks, to the, well, somebody voted because they thought that their candidate was going to lose kind of after the fact, or the list just goes on and on and on. Why would we ever embrace this idea in good faith at all?
No, it's a serious concern. Once again, it's not the ballots that were in the box that got counted that's the issue. It's how the ballots got there. And when you've got those 29 days plus the mail-in ballot days afterwards, an election can change on one ballot. And I won an election in 95, November of 95, by one vote, become the new Cedar Hill City Councilman. They did a recount.
Yeah, I bet you if they had mail-in voting, you wouldn't have won, my friend. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And by the way, there was one ballot, as I think back now on that long day yesterday, that actually turned the tide of this election. One ballot. What had happened was is there were...
You're back at 20 seconds.
There were four markings on the ballot, and they were going to disqualify the ballot, but on further looking closer, you could see that the person had whited it out, had given a vote to Craig Clemens. And so he ended up picking up a vote and tied in the election.
Hold on. Are you allowed to use whiteout on a ballot, ladies and gentlemen?
Good question.
This is Liberty Roundtable Live. This nation shall endure.